Welcome back, everybody, to the Life, Money, and More podcast. I'm your host, Sage Weiss, and for episode 7 today, we're going to be talking about why rent is so expensive. Oh, there's a topic. As a real estate agent, I got a lot to say about this one. Let's go ahead and just dive right in with a little story. I was looking at apartments a couple months ago. Long story short, I won't be renting. There's no way. I live in the greater Seattle area. Average apartment, single bedroom is now $1,500 a month. I'm just going to keep not renting. I'm not spending $1,500 a month on an apartment for myself. So how did we get here? Well, there's a lot of causes for how we got here. Just understand that. There's not just one thing that made us get here. It's not just one problem that caused all of the problems we have. Let's go through some of the reasons how we got here. Number one, there is a big issue we have with large companies purchasing large amounts of residential real estate and then turning around and renting that real estate out. So there's a lot of companies that do this. There's too many to even name, but large, like Fortune 500 companies and smaller companies too, going ahead and figuring out that, hey, if we just buy a bunch of residential real estate, and if we go ahead and rent it out, we can make a lot of money. You know, we can collect rents and the properties appreciate. Let's do that. So this really kicked into high gear. Basically, when COVID started, companies started feverishly purchasing tons and tons of real estate. Big problem for us. So I have a friend who lives in the Atlanta area. He's an agent. And there is one company there that owns 19,000 houses, which is kind of insane. So these kind of companies swooping in, buying single family homes, townhouses, condos, you name it, whatever they can buy, they're buying it and they're renting it out. Trying to build large portfolios off of residential real estate. And that's a problem. That is a problem. That is a huge problem, because what happens when one company owns that many houses is they set the rents as high as possible, because it's not about being a landlord. It's not about providing housing for people. It's not about, you know, being decent. They're a giant soulless corporation. Their goal is to make lots and lots of money. That's their goal. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to charge as much rent as possible. And I don't think it should be allowed. Most Americans don't believe it should be allowed, but it will probably continue to happen. So that's one of the problems, is large companies swooping in and buying everything. It restricts the housing supplies for normal families. It turns more properties into rentals instead of homes that people own. So they're able to create less wealth because they don't own their house. They're stuck renting from some evil corporation. Okay, so that's one of the problems. That's a big contributor to it. It's not the only one, but it's a major one. All right? That's just me letting you know as a real estate agent. I don't even like these people. I wouldn't want to deal with them. I think it's wrong. The next thing that is a problem, more so in certain areas than others, is foreign people buying real estate, whether that is individuals, corporations, countries. Anyone can just buy real estate. If you have the money, you can buy it. Most people believe you shouldn't be able to. But like around where I live, we have ghost houses that are empty, that are owned by, they could be Saudi citizens, Indian citizens, Chinese citizens, doesn't really matter, Russian citizens. But we have houses, land, commercial buildings, all kinds of things that they just park their money in. There's actually a couple houses I've seen locally that are ghost houses that are not occupied, that are owned by foreign individuals, and they just sit there. All right. Most people would say that shouldn't be a thing, but that's contributing to the problem too, is having people who aren't citizens buying up houses and then not really living in them, and they just kind of sit empty. It takes the supply down for other people to buy the house. So we have other people who aren't citizens or aren't living in the houses buying them, and they're sitting empty. And that's a problem. Another problem, too, really started kicking up in the COVID times is Airbnb. I'm going to have to do an episode on Airbnb separately. I refuse to work with Airbnb if you want to call them that, investors. But essentially, during COVID, this whole Airbnb craze started where people were interested in, you know, purchasing these properties and renting them out. Sounds good on paper. Doesn't really work that well. Everyone hates you. Very risky business model. So there are thousands and thousands and thousands of properties all over the US that are owned by basically individuals or companies who decided, oh yeah, let's just turn these houses into Airbnbs. Not working out so well for them now, but that is a problem because, again, you take a residential house off the market, whatever that is, and you turn it into an Airbnb. Now it's just a mini hotel. No one has a chance to really own that property, to fully live in it, to go ahead and build wealth. And in case you haven't noticed, they're also really expensive. Airbnb used to be cool. Now it's just lame. It just sucks. So people buying up multiple Airbnb properties and renting them out, that's an issue. A lot of cities are now making that illegal. Can't really do that anymore. And Airbnb is so expensive now, people are just fed up with it and they're not doing it. You know, I'm going to do an episode on that separately, but that is a third contributor. That is a problem. All right. And then you also have another issue, which is laws and zoning. Some cities are better about this than others, but you have to understand government in order to understand this one. Now, especially in an area like San Francisco, really expensive areas, local governments make it really hard to build new housing, whether that's new homes, whether that's affordable housing, apartments, you know, whatever that is. They make it purposefully difficult to build because the less housing there is, the more expensive the housing that is currently there becomes, therefore increasing their constituents or their own home values. Really big problem in San Francisco, but there's other areas too where this is an issue, where local councils, lawmakers are basically saying, no, we don't want any new buildings here, no new buildings. And sometimes they have very valid reasons for that. But sometimes it's just because, hey, the less houses there are, the more expensive the houses become. Then we can collect more property tax on said houses. Our own homes appreciate and value more. So some areas make it purposefully hard to build new housing, to get more housing available, because it would hurt the value of the property that's already there, in theory, at least. So laws have an effect on this too. Now, there's another thing too that people don't really talk about. And that is a cultural change that occurred recently, as in a couple of years ago, where in the United States, homes have always been, at least for pretty much all history besides recently, a house was a part of the American dream. It was sacred. It was a place where you lived. Yes, you owned your house. You raised your family there. You built wealth. It was the cornerstone. It was just a house. It was not an investment, really. It was your home. There was a change within the world of investing and money where houses stopped being seen as that thing that they had always been. As an agent, I can attest to this. And people started looking at them as purely money-making machines. That sacredness kind of left. It's gone. A lot of people look at houses now and they just see money, which is a problem because houses are homes. They are not just money-making machines. And that cultural change shifted. And essentially, thousands, I don't know the exact number, but probably tens of thousands of new people who usually were doing traditional investments decided, oh, you know, let's do this real estate thing. Let's do the Airbnbs. Let's buy up a bunch of residential real estate. So a flood of investors came in to that real estate market and said, okay, we're going to make money. And whenever a bunch of people go into an industry and say, we're going to make money, something bad happens. Whenever there's a flood of people into a new industry, generally there's ill effects. Something bad happens. And people started viewing houses as just ways to make money, which for the longest time really wasn't the case necessarily. There have always been landlords. That's always existed. But then more and more people started saying, okay, let's buy a house to make money. That causes problems. So there was a cultural shift that happened. I can't tell you the exact year, but I can tell you there were investors, people with money that started looking at houses differently. It was no longer a home. It was just a way to make money. They made it their primary way to make money. That's why people are so upset with landlords. That's why people hate landlords. So those are the major reasons as to why that is. You could look at larger problems in the world too. You could look at inflation. That causes it too. If things are more expensive, people charge more rent. So people also ask me, like, hey, what are you doing about this? What are most young people doing about this? What are people doing about this? They're just not renting anymore. Like, I've never had a proper lease in my life at 25. I don't want to give all my money to a landlord. That's the truth. I prefer to spend my money on, you know, my future, building wealth myself. I don't want to be giving it all to a landlord. So a lot of people now are just not renting. They're either staying with mom and dad longer, which I don't have. I know, sad, but I don't have that luxury. So a lot of people are just sticking with their parents much longer than previous generations. They are sticking with friends. All right. They're crashing with their friends. They're renting single bedrooms. They're living on the road. Which can either be glamorous or terrible. They are moving to other countries where things are different. So people more and more so just can't afford rent, but they're also, if you're like me, you're just avoiding it altogether because it's just too much. So What is my prediction? Like, what do I think is going to happen? People ask me this as an agent quite a bit. Like, hey, what do you think is going to happen with this and that? I think it's just going to get worse. You'll hear me say that a lot. It's not because I'm a negative person. Don't say that. I know someone's thinking that. It's just because when you have all these forces acting on this, there's not really a good direction it can go in. Will there be easing in the future? Maybe. All right. Is this something we can fix? In a practical world, sure. We don't live in a practical world. We live in a world that's a mess. And remember, guys, rent goes up every single year. Pretty much. It will get more and more expensive. It will get more and more expensive to rent. I predict in the future, many people will just stop renting altogether. Or we'll have rental communities where people like have subscriptions for rent. Oh God, what hellscape is that going to be? Oh God, subscriptions for rent. No, oh. Yeah, that sounds terrible. It'll probably happen. It probably already has. Oh my God. So I don't think this is going to get better. I think it will continue to get worse. And a lot of people have to redefine what it means or when to leave their parents' house, when to go out into the world, when to get an apartment. I think it's going to change how a lot of us live. But the only way to really fix this would to be make a lot more houses and apartments. But there's also another problem with that. If suddenly, I think we're 4 million houses short, if suddenly we popped 4 million houses out of nowhere, plopped them all over the country, which I think is what we would need to meet the demand, it's like 4 or 5 or 6 million houses, it's something crazy. guess what? They would just all get bought up. They would all get bought up by these large companies, by investors, Airbnb assholes. So would that make it better? Maybe. Maybe we just need to have like 20 million houses built, right? Then they'd be like, there's too many of them. Screw this. We're just going to invest in the stuff we used to invest in. So do I think it's going to get better? No. No, I don't. But those are some reasons why we have gotten where we are. And it's changing a lot of lives. It's changed mine. It's changed my friends' lives. It's changed the way young people live, all people live. Yeah, that's the info for you guys. That's the info right there. Looks like we're about 16 minutes in. Feels like a good place to end the episode. Thank you for listening so far. If you are, check out all of the other episodes. And I look forward to making more. I got a lot of episodes planned. So remember, guys, just keep on swimming. Keep on swimming in this ocean of a country we live in where the waves are tall and there's sharks in the water. Just remember to keep on swimming, guys. I'm going to catch you in the next episode.